It's wonderful to be with you this morning. As Deborah said, I've been here in the presbytery since Friday and have had a marvelous experience. I've been doing this work for almost 6 years, which is hard to believe. I never thought I'd be working in Louisville, Kentucky, at the headquarters. But I've been doing that, and it's been a good call. However, I'm a pastor, so I'm starting to miss being with you in a local church. So we'll see what God does. I have been privileged to serve you. That's basically what we do out of the Presbyterian Mission Agency, to serve you. And I have been all across our denomination. I have been with people in Juneau, Alaska, and also with Presbyterians in St. Pete Beach, Florida, and everywhere in between. I think I have been in about 45 states since I've been about this work. And here's the good news, y'all. Because we get a lot of bad news, right? Here's the good news. I have not had yet a poor, bad, awkward, indifferent, whatever adjective you want to use, experience with Presbyterians. And I have been with all kinds of Presbyterians. I've been with older Presbyterians. I've been with younger Presbyterians. I've been with much more progressive Presbyterians. I've been with much more conservative Presbyterians and have not had a bad experience yet. Because here's the deal, y'all. All of us are trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus, to serve others, and to love God, and to be on this journey of slowly but surely, by the power of the Holy Spirit, of giving our lives over to God. It's a difficult journey, but it's a beautiful one. So, I'm here to talk about beautiful feet. I don't know if you've looked at your feet lately. I actually have a good opportunity to look at my feet on a regular basis because I'm a runner, and my feet help me stay sane. So running is good for me physically, but it also helps me stay sane. It somehow calms me. I'm not sure why, but it does. I'm no longer a quick runner, but I just simply endure. And so every day after a run, I'm taking my shoes off and I rub my feet, and I have these awful calluses and I have these narrow feet with a slight arch, and they are not pretty feet. I don't show them off, even though I don't like to wear shoes, but I don't go out of my way to show them off because they're not pretty. But Scripture says that our feet are beautiful. Your feet and my feet are beautiful. And there's a reason for this. Because we are a people who bring good news. Now, Paul is in an interesting part of this letter to the church in Rome. I love Romans. But Romans is dense. It really is. So if you have some spare time this afternoon, just read it from cover to cover. It is dense. What Paul does is like Paul gives us everything he knows about the faith in one letter to one particular church. But he does it in a very orderly way. So I think Paul was like the first Presbyterian. He's very decent and he's very orderly with this letter. So the first 8 chapters, y'all know this, I'm just giving you just a little thumbnail sketch. The first 8 chapters are all about who God is and what God has done for humanity, how God is on this mission, and you can use all kinds of words to describe it. I think it's a mission of restoration. It also can be called a mission of redemption. It can be called a mission of reconciliation. It can also be called a mission of rescue. So the first 8 chapters are all about God on this loving. We have to say that. God is all powerful and God's a mystery, yes. But what we know of God in Jesus is that God is loving. God's on this loving, redemptive, restorative, rescue mission to reconcile people to one another and to God. And I'm going to throw this one in because it's in chapter 8, also creation. So when you're recycling, y'all, you're about God's redemptive mission to restore. And then 12 through 16, it's all about our loving response to God's gracious activity in our lives and the life of the world. Are y'all with me so far? But then 9 through 11, oh my goodness. 9 through 11. What is Paul doing? That's where we get the beautiful feet bringing good news. Paul is actually in anguish over friends and neighbors who, for whatever reason, cannot or have not seen or experienced that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God is making a way for all people to be reconciled. His heart is breaking. And he asks a question at the beginning of today's scripture. How can they call to be rescued? How can they call out to be restored? How can they plead to be reconciled if they have not heard about this one through whom God is restoring and rescuing all things? Y'all with me so far? Now, most of us don't like evangelism. Now, I'm the coordinator for evangelism, and there are days that I don't like it either. I'm still living into the most authentic form for evangelism. So if you don't hear anything else this morning, here's the thing that I hope we all hear. And that is, not a one of us is able to change another human being's life. That is not our responsibility. No one in this room is able to change another human's life. And that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to debate them or beat them up or whatever we do to change them. We are simply called to bear witness to what's changed our lives. That's it. It's also difficult. And so that's the purpose of the church, y'all, and everything that we do, from our worship to our fellowship, to our gardening, to the fishes and loaves, to our care for the poor. It is about being equipped and nurtured to be on this mission with God. As God changes our lives, we become a part of what God's doing to reconcile and change the lives of people in our community and even neighborhoods. And it includes justice. It always does, y'all. We have got to be a people of justice. We have got to be the voice that says racism is evil and it has to stop today. No more killing. It has to stop. today because it's evil and it's wrong and it tears at the fabric of what it means to be human. We also have to be a people who speak truth to the powers that continue to bind God's people through injustice. And we have to be a people who actually provide food for the hungry and homes for the homeless. But we're also a people who speak good news. And here's the thing. You and I have stories about how God is changing our lives. We really do. Each one of us has a story about how our lives are different. It'd be cool if we could just sit down this afternoon and all have a conversation about this. I could tell you my story about growing up with bipolar parents. I mean, I loved them. And I grew to forgive my dad. But it was only through God working in me, through the grace of our Lord, that I, as an adult, had the power and the wisdom and the courage and the humility to forgive my father and to ask his forgiveness. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And so only through what God has done in Jesus have I been able to be on this road of recovery, this road of renewal, this road of restoration. And you have a similar story. And the best way I can put my life, y'all, and it's not all that powerful. It's just this. Maybe it's a good Presbyterian way to put it. Because of what God has done in Jesus, I'm on a journey every day of being more alive and less afraid. That's it for me. More alive and less afraid. And you've got a story about the good news in your life, too. So here's the thing, y'all. How do we share this good news? I want to talk about two things quickly. I think as we're in community together and we're practicing these disciplines of being in worship, of praying, of being in fellowship with one another, of serving with one another, of digging into scripture with one another, as we're about these disciplines, we're not only people of justice, but we begin to live into and claim our own stories. And our own stories of good news become then, because of this community, and we have to be in this community, they become second nature. It just, in authentic ways, bubbles up from us. Let me just give you an example. I mean, we can't keep it down. Have you ever tried to keep good news down? Now, our oldest daughter, Ashley, we have two grown daughters, Ashley and Marion. Ashley lives in Washington, D.C., and Marion lives in Venice, California. It's just crazy that children can live that far away from you. But Ashley got married to Justin, and we all love Justin. But it was difficult letting our firstborn go. And I guess that's the way you put it. She's still in our lives, but it was just difficult. And so I don't know why, but the wedding lasted from Thursday through Saturday. I don't know why we had that many activities, but we did. And so it was like weeks before I would get a text from her or call and said, "Daddy, I don't want to cry." And as I think about it now, it was probably because I wrote her a 2-page letter on how much she means to me and what a gift she's been to her mama and me. And so for weeks before the wedding, it was, "I don't want to cry, don't make me cry." And then that Thursday when we started the wedding activities, she kind of pulled me aside and she said, "Daddy, whatever you do this weekend, don't make me cry." And I said, "I'm not going to make make you cry. And she said, I want you telling me stuff like, I've been the biggest disappointment in your life, or whatever it is, but don't make me cry. And so I said, I'm not going to make you cry. And so I still remember it as if it was yesterday. We're standing like right out there by those stained glass windows. That's how you got into the sanctuary. And the music is playing, and we can see the pastor and Justin up front. And so I take her, or she takes my arm, and I lean over to give her a kiss on the cheek before we start our march into the sanctuary. And as I'm leaning over to give her a kiss, I say these words, Ashley, you will never fully know the gift you've been to me, and I love you beyond imagining. I couldn't hold it in. You know what I mean? Couldn't keep it stuffed. It just found its way out. It was second nature. So she starts sniffling. And we start walking, and she's sniffling. And we continue to walk. We get about halfway. It's no longer sniffles. It's tears. I can see them starting to cause the mascara to run. And when I saw that, I thought, uh-oh, she's not going to be pleased. Her mama's not going to be pleased. And we got about right here with the Jesus loves me little banner. She was sobbing. And that's about where Judy was seated. And Judy gave me a look of, what have you done? And I kind of shook my head like, I'm sorry. And so we get up to the front. I give her a kiss. And she and Justin move up with the pastor. And so she then turns and looks at the congregation and just says, it's okay, y'all. They're good tears. They're good tears. And but it was just second nature. I just had to tell her the good news. And you know what I mean. And it just becomes second nature that it just bubbles up what's changed our lives. And here's the second thing. It has to be authentic. Each one of us share our story in a different way. I am basically an introvert, so it's just not, I won't. Did y'all get that? I don't, I can't, I won't, because it's not authentic. Go up to a complete stranger and said, do you know Jesus? He would make a difference in your life. That's not with me. I can't do that. I've tried it and it doesn't work. But here's what's authentic for me. It's just relational. It's just being in prayer that God would break through my stubbornness and help me be available to people wherever God places me. Now, my brother and sister-in-law live in Lexington, Kentucky. She's finishing her PhD. And my brother is the most brilliant man I know, but because the way in which we were raised, he cannot stand the faith. He does not like Christians, and he basically tolerates that I'm a Christian. And let me tell you something. We have had debates about why I believe what I believe and why he believes what he believes. And the last time we stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning. And guess what? The coordinator for evangelism sharing his faith. Guess what the results were? Ray, just keep believing that. I still don't want any part of it. But I pray for Marcus, and I love Marcus. And I know God loves Marcus. But this one time before that experience, he had invited friends over. And many of his friends are just like he is. And Marcus is a poet, a writer, and he's a stonemason, and he's an urban chicken farmer. That's right. Urban chicken farmer in Lexington, Kentucky, has about 30 chickens. And so they're a magnet for the neighborhood. And so they were having this cookout, and there were people from the community all in their backyard and all these chickens running around. So I ended up in this conversation with Jasper, and Jasper asked me what I did for a living, and I told him, and he literally took a step back, like, oh my goodness, I'm in the presence of Satan. He didn't say that, but that's like the look I got. And so I just kept engaging him. So I said, so tell me what you're doing. He said, I'm a PhD student at Kentucky, and I'm working in the area, a PhD in anthropology, and I'm going to have an emphasis on Appalachian folk music. Now I was thinking to myself, what on earth would anyone do with a PhD in anthropology with an emphasis in Appalachian folk music? But I didn't say that because I do have certain social skills. So instead, I just said, well, what would you like to do once you graduate? And expecting him to say that he would teach, but he didn't say that. These were his words. When I graduate, I wanna work in a museum in a town or a city. And I wanna help that museum become relevant in that town or city. I wanna do things in the community. I wanna get out of the museum and bring the goods of the museum into the community so that people can get an experience of what we're doing, and I can join with them and help them to make this city or town a much more beautiful place in which to live. And he was so excited about this opportunity that he could have. And then I looked at him and I said, Jasper, guess what? That's my work too. That's what I do with churches, try to help them get outside their walls and begin to join with others and take the good things that are in the church into the community so that together with people in the community and people in the church, we can make Leonia a much more beautiful place in which to live. Lexington, Kentucky, a much more beautiful place in which to live. So a conversation started and a relationship has started. And so God's going to keep working on Jasper and keep working with me as we're in relationship together for as long as we are together. So it has to be authentic. Y'all are with me, right? It's going to end with this. Got to end. Why do we do justice? Why would we even share this good news? It's because there are people all around us who do not know that God delights in them and loves them and desires a relationship with them and wants to join with them and their giftedness to continue reconciling the broken relationships in that person's life and in that person's community. That's why. That's why we're here. That's why we're sent out. That's why we share good news. Because there are people broken and isolated, hungry to know that they're loved, they're gonna have enough to get through the day, and that their life has meaning. And what we've experienced together is that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we're loved. We know we're going to have enough for the day. And we know that our lives have meaning. So we come to where we started. Doesn't matter where you've come from, y'all. What matters is that your feet are beautiful. And they're beautiful because we are bearers of good news. Indeed, yes, but also in word. Amen. Amen.